Then there are some miscellaneous questions here. Why should I be more religious than my parents? Well, this again, I think we've dealt with, because our religion is based on our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the truth of the matter is that more often than not, if we're religious in a healthy way, in a meaningful way, and good with our parents in all of the halachas and hashkofa of kibud av ve'eim, in the process, oftentimes we bring our parents, we elevate our parents. In fact, the Novi says that in the end of days, the end of the Novi Malachi, it says, Rashi says, it seems that the children will bring their parents back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is happening in our generation, not only by non-frum people where their children become religious and bring their parents back, but even in the frum community where the parents are somewhat less religious, the next generation becomes more, and if they do it properly, they influence their parents. How many women today from the older generation are covering their hair and being more makpid on so many things that they weren't 30 years ago, all because their children went that way and had a positive influence. If, however, the child is rejecting or judgmental of the parent rather than understanding that they come from a different generation, then of course the effect could be negative. Why is the internet so bad? There are plenty of good things on the web. Why ban it all? It's a big problem. There are good things there. Some people need it for business otherwise, but anyone who has any idea of the lure of instant contact, anonymity, where nobody has to know who I am, so I don't have to be embarrassed or anything, the predators that exist out there who are just looking to attack and to cause wreck havoc in the lives of these kids, the innocence of getting involved in a what seems as so remote a relationship someplace, you know, it could be hundreds, it could be thousands of miles away, and nothing can happen, but then it does happen, and they become more contact, and they become pictures, and they become telephone calls, and then there's meetings, and all kinds of terrible, the tragic stories of people that were lost, people that were preyed upon, and people that just got involved in unthinkable relationships through this internet are really, really overwhelmingly tragic, and therefore it's something that has to be really understood and controlled, if at all possible. Explain Tzar Balei Chaim. Don't understand exactly what the question is, but a Baal Chai has a certain level of feeling, not the probably not the human psychology that we have, certainly not the ability to express it in words and in thoughts, but the Torah wants us to be sensitive to all things. The Torah actually tells us to be sensitive to inanimate objects as well. And the idea is because that creates human sensitivity. Even our sensitivity to other human beings is in order to be mashlim ourselves. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to give tzedakah to aniyim, not for the benefit of the aniyim, because he could be mefarnes the aniyim any way he wants, but it's for our benefit. We develop chesed, we develop rachamim. The same thing in Tzar Balei Chaim. This is a Baal Chai, he's not even human, yet we feel for him, yet we're concerned for his pain, so we develop a deeper sensitivity. The reason that we cover the challah, we make kiddush, l'yir hapas b'ishtoy, the bread shouldn't be embarrassed when you take the wine first, since the proper order of things should be the bread. Now, the bread is not embarrassed, certainly, and as far as we know, but the idea is to develop sensitivity, that here this bread really should have been taken first, but we're taking the wine first for the covet of the Suda on Shabbos, and we want to develop the sensitivity in us not to embarrass that bread. When we have that sensitivity, we certainly be more careful not to embarrass the people sitting around the table, v'chule, v'chule. Why do I have to wear tzitzis if they are uncomfortable? Well, you know, of course, the chiyuv to wear tzitzis is only when I have a beged of dalet kanfos, but it's certainly a mitzvah. You get the schar for tariag mitzvahs, and it's zorisa meisay uscharotem es kol mitzvahs. It allows us to remember all the mitzvahs. Sometimes it's a little uncomfortable. You do get used to it. If we remembered, if we knew the schar, the Vilna Goyin on his deathbed cried, holding his tzitzis, and said, like, for a couple of cents, you know, you buy tzitzis, and you have such a mitzvah, and look what I'm giving this up in this world. I like to tell a story of a little kid who was appointed a closet monitor together with another friend, and there was a lot of paper supplies there. And the friend said, hey, let's take some of these home. They look nice. There's a lot. They have so much. And the kid pulled out his tzitzis, says, you know, it was an 8-9-year-old kid. I'm wearing tzitzis. Like, it reminds us of the mitzvahs. It's kechoysam. The Sipurna says, kechoysam yad raboy olov. And it tells us, hey, we have responsibility. Why is it all about shidduch? We realize that shidduchim mina shamayim, and we have to do proper hishtadlus, but we certainly don't have a right to hurt other people in shidduchim, and it is a major thing, and we live in a society where shidduchim are difficult, and where shidduchim is certainly a very public thing, and people are very concerned about it. But we have to learn to have bitochem b'Hashem. If the Eibishter himself is mezavik zivugim, then we certainly shouldn't worry. We have to be appropriately mishtadl, but there isn't what to worry. We have to daven for the right shidduchim. We have to go about it in the right process, you know, to find out the right information, and then to go out in a sensible way and allow to see if the chemistry develops, and then if there is an attraction, and then if we really feel that this relationship is going someplace. You know, it's very important. It affects the future. It affects our dearest parents are concerned, because their nitzchias, their eternity, is really totally in the success of the shidduchim of their children and how their grandchildren will turn out. But we do have to put it in perspective, and most of all rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us and not go crazy and hurt other people in the process. What's wrong with smoking? Well, if it's so clear that smoking, first-hand and even second-hand smoke, is so dangerous and detrimental to health, and the statistics and the information is clearly available, then how can a person's conscience, even taking away a day of life, you know, I tell people, you know, you may be taking away 5 or 10 years from your grandchildren's having grandparents, or the nachas that you would have, or the mitzvahs that you would do, and the schus and the Gan Eden. Once we leave this world, it's hayoyim la'seisim u'mocho l'kabel schorim. Everything we do in this world is done. After that, we can't do anything about it. We just reap the benefits. Certainly, we should go out of our way to do everything humanly possible to elongate our lives. And the b'chlal, the whole concept of smoking, basically, it isn't a pleasure, as some of the smokers claim. It's really relieving an addiction for nicotine. Why do we let ourselves get addicted? Why do we break the addiction? That we won't need that kind of pleasure. There's plenty of other pleasures of life, and so forth. What's wrong with listening to non-Jewish music, watching movies? Well, unfortunately, the world out there lures us in many unhealthy and inappropriate ways. And unfortunately, you know, you don't have a world that has a respect for modesty, for tznius, and for propriety and sensitivity of language, and therefore the exposure that we have to all of this stuff sometimes is overwhelming, and it does have a damage. We are very fragile as human beings, especially teenagers. They're so affected by their environment. They're a product of their environment, and if we are constantly involved in these things, it makes our mind think certain things. Many people have admitted in marriage relationships that the movies and the Hollywood effect and the music and the songs and the lyrics that still reverberate in their mind and in their subconscious affect their ability to relate to a wholesome, healthy, normal relationship with a spouse, because they're comparing it to all kinds of things, and they have all kinds of this, the competition, you know, you're comparing your wife, your spouse, your husband to a movie star. It doesn't work that way. And even the movie star is not like that. He's been dressed up and powdered and doctored and leads, for the most part, a miserable existence, probably oftentimes on the verge of suicide, certainly a lot of drug and drinking and so forth. So it's just the wrong value system which seeps in, because we're all influenced by these things, and eventually can ruin us. We don't want to hurt ourselves. We don't want to be to ruin. I want to be so from. Why does Hashem make it so hard for me? Family issues, etc. It's you know, it has to do with the issue of tzaddik v'ralo. It has to do with all of the issue of suffering. But basically, we have to know that the difficulties of life are nisyonis, and you know, Hashem tests us, and sometimes it's shayyav Hashem yuchiyach. The ones He loves the most, He tests the most. Rav once told me that his father was a Rav in Hungary, and somebody came to him with grace at Tzoris, all kinds of suffering, and he told him, Shayyav Hashem yuchiyach, the one that Hashem loves, He's mochiyach. So he says, Rabbi, I understand that, but why can't He love my neighbor a little bit more? You know, we feel that way, it's true. But if we can appreciate that lefum tzara agra, schar is according to difficulty, and difficulty molds people. If we could teach our kids how every time we go through a difficulty in life, we grow as a human being, we've overcame difficulties. You have all these stories. I used to have a Helen Keller, and these people who had handicaps and overcame the handicaps, they became giants. And ultimately, it's the level of greatness and perfection that we can achieve in this world. And oftentimes, the most difficult difficult issues which seem overwhelming in the long run help us. Sometimes the suffering that we have as children, which is so inexplicable at that stage, and has to do also, I mean, there is the concept of Gilgul Neshomas, that there's a Neshoma that had to be misaken something from a previous Gilgul. Sometimes for some people that's harder to deal with. But even just the suffering itself in its benefits, they go through so much, they become so sensitive that they have a new lease on life and a different capacity for changing the world and helping the world and understanding the world, all because of the difficulties. So as we go through these difficulties, they seem so overwhelming. But if we know that it's from Hashem, and why does Hashem make it so hard? The question is mashma that we know it's from Hashem. If we know it's from Hashem, and if we know His infinite chesed, and if we know that He has the good of each and every individual in mind and in heart, and if He knows that kol mad de ovid rachmona letav ovid, no matter how terrible it seems at the moment, that can give us the strength to overcome the Nisyanus, and in the process to grow to be individuals that we never could have greatness to greatness that we never could have achieved otherwise.